The Burt Show.
Do you want to call an audible here and run with this? Like, you guys call up flexing your intelligence. The fact that you know that most don't. We just went around the room. If you want to get in on this, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. I eat walnuts every day, but I'm not really sure what a walnut is, actually. So I Google it during the show because we're very busy in here. And found out that walnuts are not actually nuts at all. Walnuts are the seeds of a fruit called a drupe. D-R-U-P-E. Now you know.
So they're a droop nut? It's
not a droopy nut.
A droopy nut.
That's it. That is. So do you have one of those now you know moments? 1-855-BIRCHO, because we went around the room and most had them.
Mm-hmm. And this just happened recently. One of my good friends, Michelle, sent me this information about where, like, throwing up the middle finger and saying F you came from, right? Because I am notorious in my friend group. When we take group photos, I like to throw the bird. I'm super mature. Anyway, before the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, the French, anticipating victory over the English, proposed to cut off the middle finger of all captured English soldiers.
Really?
Without the middle finger, it would be impossible to draw the renowned English longbow. Oh. And therefore, they would be incapable of fighting in the future. This famous English longbow was made of the native English yew tree. And the act of drawing the longbow was known as plucking the yew, or pluck yew.
Yew.
Much to the bewilderment of the French, the English won a major upset and began mocking the French by waving their middle fingers at the defeated French and saying, pluck yew. Over the decades, Americans have since changed the words to from pluck you to F you, mm-hmm. And that's why we threw up the bird.
Whoa, bro. The more you know. 1-855-BIRCHO. Cassie.
I love these facts so much. This is my favorite. I'll, like, read them all day on Reddit. So I found out why pirates wear eye patches, and it's not generally always because they lost an eye, like you would think. If you think about it, that's a lot of pirates losing eyes. It's because when they're on the ships sailing, they have one eye covered. So when they go below deck, they instantly are acclimated to the darkness and they can just move the patch to the other eye and see immediately in the dark. Then you go back above the deck and that other eye is already acclimating to the dark. So it just makes it easier to switch back and forth between the two.
The more you know. There it is.
I found out another really interesting one yesterday, and this one's especially for parents, why kids don't like vegetables. And it's an evolutionary thing. It's because kids don't like bitter stuff because poisons are bitter. So to survive, children, if they ate something bitter because their bodies are so small, they would spit it out immediately because their brain is registering it as poison. They have more taste buds than adults. So the older you get, you lose your taste buds and those vegetables stop tasting as bitter.
Come on.
Uh-huh.
Unless you call broccoli brontosaurus trees and then they'll eat whatever.
You guys know what Bic pens are, right?
Yeah.
Pretty standard pen. Mm-hmm. The top on it has a little hole at the very top of the cap that comes off. Why is there a hole there?
So you don't choke.
So when a kid swallows it, you don't choke. The air goes through the top of the pen. Whoa!
I like the way Cassie answered that, like, duh.
I know.
So you don't choke.
But I mean, didn't it happen? And that's why they did that? Because
that I don't know.
Yeah.
So why do they know not to eat vegetables, but they'll eat Bic pens? Where are those taste buds?
No one said they were smart. It's their lizard brains. All right.
I got an interesting DM from a Burt Show listener trying to give me a different perspective on my attitude on the video that we played yesterday of the 22, 23-year-old in New York City that was really stressed out and crying on TikTok because this is her, like, first 9-to-5 job in New York City and nothing seems to be falling into place for her. She's totally stressed out by this new job. She's having a tough time getting on the train. She doesn't have any time for any extracurricular or any fun. And she just really feels like her life is falling apart right now, right? So we listened to that video yesterday. And then I think we got into, like, this healthy debate because Cassie has a very different attitude about that video than I did. I'm a big fan of grit and paying your dues. And Cassie's like, hold on a second.
I just, for me, like looking back at it, companies generally don't work that way. It used to be you paid your dues because you would invest in the company and they'd invest in you back. And that loyalty for most companies, I think, Bert, honestly, the way you run your business is very different from mega corporations. It isn't there anymore. You're supposed to switch jobs. And I think there's a realization that, why am I pouring all my time into working for this company where I have no life of my own? And I'm not saying don't work, and I'm not saying don't give 100% when you work. Like, let me be very clear. If you get paid to do a job, you do it and you do it well. But why am I giving my entire life to this company that does not give a crap about me, is going to lay me off whenever they want, and I have no life, and I'm just making money for somebody else? And so it's a reinvestment in, what do I want out of my life? And my job is what funds my life.
Yeah, and I can feel that. And I do, I hate big business. And you know this. We all work together on a couple of different projects. Cassie is part of Pioneer Network, and she's also part of The Bert Show. I hate big business because of that. How, like, I hate running a business as though you're a number, or I hate big businesses that do that. We have a very tight family here. Take a day off. Something's going on in your life. You do what you got to do. I understand that work doesn't have to be first all the time. But I also know that I have hired people that respect that, that they work so hard that it's, I never have to say work harder. You guys are working harder than I am.
And they don't take advantage of the system.
Right. Uh-huh. So this is the DM I got. And believe it or not, I do listen to you guys in DMs. And when you give me something to really chew on, I like chewing on it. So here you go. Listening to your break today about the young woman on TikTok who just started working and realized it sucks. She says to me, you seem to have a deep obsession with paying your dues and grit. I'm a hardworking person who also values independence. However, you seem to value hard work and grit more than you value happiness. When these kinds of conversations come up, and it seems like there's no room for change in our society for you, paying people for internships, working less hours, taking easier paths, always seems to turn you off. I do think you have to learn some lessons through experience, but I don't think you have to sacrifice, capital letters, years of your life in misery to do so. Can't there be a balance without implying these people weak for thinking our societal norms are trash? She says, I don't know, just a thought. I guess what I mean is that you don't have to suffer to be happy and or successful. All right. So what do you guys think about that?
I think there's something to be said, because I know that you worked very hard to get to where you are today. When I'm sorry, my voice is giving out today. I know that when you work hard and you had to put in years and years and years of grit, sometimes when you see other people have a little bit of an easier time or get cut a little bit more slack, sometimes it can really rub you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to that, because I do feel like I've put in the work, but I can understand that you want people to experience the same kind of pain for the same kind of success. So I feel like maybe that's why you tend to grab onto the grit a little bit.
I think that says a lot, too, about how people responded to the whole idea of people's student loans getting paid off. And those people who had to pay their student loans was like, no, make them pay. I'm like, why wouldn't you want somebody, like, yeah, it would have been nice if they would have done it for us, but they didn't. Why not try to help out a future generation when we have mad inflation right now? And, like, you know, very different now than it was when we went to school. So why would you oppose somebody getting their student loans paid off to help give them a leg up? It shouldn't take away from you what somebody else is able to get.
And for me, it's, I think when we look at somebody not having grit or wanting that softer lifestyle, it seems like an opposite, right? So you either have drive and you have the grit, or you're basically just going to phone it in. And I think it's in the middle, right? Like, it's, you don't have to have the grit and rake yourself over the coals, but you can still do a good job and show up 100%. And honestly, it's conversations like this that change what the label. We have an 8-hour workday because of the workers. People attribute it to Henry Ford. It's because of the workers pushing back, and that's where they came up with the 8-8-8 structure. So it's movements like this that sort of craft the workday and help people evolve into a happier version of themselves.
I think it's kind of like a perspective and attitude thing, because I do agree with what she said at the end, that you don't necessarily have to struggle to be successful, but I do believe that you have to struggle to live. So either way, you're going to struggle. Huh. You're going to have hardships. You're going to have hard times, whether you're successful or you're not successful. That's just the way it goes. And everybody's race is different. Some people are going to have to work harder. Some people are not going to have to work so hard. But either way, you're going to go through things, and how you see it is going to determine, like, exactly what you do with the things that you have to go through. That's what I think.
Here's where I disagree with this, you guys. And I'm going to piggyback on something you just said. You don't have to struggle to be successful. I think you do. I really think that you do. Now, it depends on what you want at the end of the day. If you don't want to be, make a whole bunch of money and you want an easier lifestyle, then you don't have to struggle as much. But it depends on where you want to go. You cannot be what your definition of success
there
is.
There it is.
All right. It's
there
what it your definition of success is. My definition of success looks what it is right now. And I had to bust my ass to get there. So all I'm saying is, like, if you want a high level of success, like a Gary Vee or somebody that you might see online, you have to bust your butt. And if you don't get it, you can't blame that on the system. All right. You can't complain that things are expensive. You can't complain that you're working day and night based on where you want to be, what the end goal is. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, you summed it up by saying what your definition of success is.
Right.
And I think that determines as far as whether what your struggle is going to be.
I don't think you're not a successful person if you're making $40,000 a year and you got a couple of kids and you are happy. That to me is the only definition of success, is happiness. Mm-hmm. This is my definition of success. And so I had to work harder and pay dues and really bust some ass to get here. But if your definition is different than that, that there is nothing wrong with that. That's the only definition of success.
No, I completely agree with you. And like for me, my perspective, I think I do both. I think I bust my ass, work hard to get what I want. And then in the end, I complain that I had to work so damn hard to get it. Sometimes you do both.
The Burt Show.